All right, everybody, I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. At 6'6", we got Brent Charleton from EnWave. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks, buddy.
So many times.
You didn't get the full thing. 290 as well, pretty heavy. So, well, thanks. Welcome, everybody. Again, my name is Brent Charleton. I'm the CEO of EnWave Corporation. I've been working with the company now for a total of 14 years, so I've seen it evolve, devolve, and now get to the point where we're ready to really take advantage of the ongoing commercialization of our patented vacuum microwave dehydration technology. We partner now with over 50 companies globally, primarily large food companies, who have bought our machinery, which offers a very elaborate value proposition, which I'll get into. And each of those adopters have agreed to pay us royalties on the value of the products that they are dehydrating and then selling to consumers on a global basis. So our current cap table is about 110 million common shares outstanding. Our market capitalization has been depressed over the past 12 months, primarily to do with two family office positions that exited the business and our relatively modest liquidity. All that being said, we look at EnWave today as being a very attractive opportunity for investment given the pipeline that we have going forward into fiscal 25. Our fiscal year end is September 30th, starting October 1st. And if you look at our overall revenue performance the past 3 years, we've been around, I call it a $10 to $12 million revenue business, with about 85 to 90% of that revenue coming from the sale of our vacuum microwave machinery. Margin on those on that revenue is about 30% gross margin. And the second big stream of revenue came from royalties being generated, again, through the sale of products being dehydrated from the machines that are being deployed. Currently, our cash position is north of $4 million, so there's no need for us to go to the market to raise capital and dilute our shareholders. We feel that's an adequate amount of capital to execute on our strategy. And as I go into the next few slides, talk about some of these blue chip, new licensed partners that are seeing traction in the market, which we believe will lead to additional follow-up orders on machines and therefore royalty growth within our portfolio. This business model, this licensing royalty business model that we've implemented, is not the norm in industry. Typical OEMs will sell machinery, they'll sign an after-sales service contract, and that's it. So there needs to be a tangible value to the user of our tech to justify that ongoing royalty, and I'll get into those details now. So in regards to EnWave as an investment thesis, we've proven out the technology. It's no longer in development. We have sophisticated products that we've sold multiple times over, and we've attracted the attention from some of the biggest CPG companies globally to adopt that. Our leadership team is tenured. We have a ton of experience with this licensing model and also in the food industry. We've sort of faded out of the cannabis industry, which we entered into serendipitously in 2018, 2019, which led to a number of purchase orders, but ultimately that industry is a little bit unstable, whereas our focus on a go-forward basis will be primarily, again, in food. And we also have a blue sky aspect to the story in that we are collaborating in the pharmaceutical industry through industry-leading partner GEA Lyophil, which is one of the largest purveyors of lyophilization equipment, to try and commercialize our technology for the drying of vaccinations and other biopharmaceutical products. That's sort of on the back burner, not a real driver of revenue today, but could be in the future. Why would companies consider vacuum microwave in the food space versus the primary incumbents of freeze drying and air drying, which are predominantly used to create shelf-stable snacks and ingredients? Well, typically, those two incumbents aren't satisfying the need for innovation. Oftentimes, they're quite expensive, long in processing times, and limited in outcomes, given the nature of the removal of water within those particular materials. And that's where EnWave comes in. By combining vacuum and microwave, we can create a very fast, efficient way to evenly remove moisture content from any organic load that goes through our machinery. And doing so can provide different qualitative outcomes, satisfying what consumers want, and allowing for food companies to diversify their portfolios and also innovate and stand out from their competition. Further, the use of microwave energy is incredibly efficient. So the processing times are far less than the incumbents. Our typical time would be between 1 to 3 hours going from fresh to dry versus freeze drying, which can be north of 15 hours to produce the same amount of product, or even air drying takes between 6 to 8 hours. So we're looking at a markable time difference and therefore cost saving on a per unit basis. This slide highlights some of the other value proposition points under consideration for those adopting REV technology. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, some of the highlights from an ESG standpoint, less energy utilization. That energy that's used is typically electrical energy, which can be sourced from green sources. Often some of our well-known branded products claim it's a green snack product based on that point. It's also got a closed-loop cooling system, so not wasting water, and allows some of its users to take B or C-grade food products that otherwise would go to the landfill because they don't qualify to be sold through the grocery chain fresh and turn that into a high-value ingredient or snack product to be sold in market. So currently, as I mentioned, we have 54 licensed partners, and a breakdown of the verticals in which we've commercialized this technology successfully is highlighted in those blue circles along each individual vertical, i.e. fruit and vegetable. We have 17 commercial licenses, dairy, 16 licenses, and so on. We're also operating in 25 countries globally, so we have large partnerships in Japan with a very well-known snacking company, Calbee, Dole in Thailand and the Philippines, in Europe for a variety of companies, in North America, South America as well. We will not do business in China, Russia, or any other jurisdiction that doesn't respect intellectual property law, because that really is the foundation of our business's value, and that we're able to leverage that IP to justify the royalties being paid from our licensors. And so the, I'd say important to note that we are the only company that offers scalable and reliable vacuum microwave equipment. And it's a pretty bold statement to make, but it's true. And that's the primary reason why we're able to execute on this business model and collection of royalties. Microwave is a fickle thing under vacuum. It tends to concentrate in different areas and not be homogeneous in distribution. And our patents, of which we have 18, protect the apparatus designs that ensure that homogeneous distribution of energy. And also the processing protocols for different product types have also been patented, so layers in further protection to the folks that adopt our technology. In terms of total addressable market, $4.3 billion worth of dehydration equipment was sold in 2023, and that's a combination of freeze dryers, air dryers, and other bespoke drying mechanisms. So very large market for us to go after in terms of machine revenue quantum. And then in terms of, you know, what could we apply the royalty to? And typically, royalty structure is a percentage of gross revenue. So for example, I mentioned Dole. If Dole sells, you know, $30, $40 million worth of dried pineapple chips, well, we're going to get 2% of that gross revenue. They're going to pay us that on a quarterly basis ongoing. It's a similar structure for other food companies, between 2 and 5% typically. And so that's why it's important to note that $36 billion worth of just freeze-dried food was sold in 2022. So I mentioned machine sales, of which 85% of our revenue was in 2023, is a very important part of our financial performance. And if you note, Q1 and Q2 of our fiscal year 2024 was quite weak and lumpy because we didn't close any large-scale purchase orders in that time frame. But then in Q3, we closed three in a row. And so Q3 was a fantastic quarter because of that percentage of revenue derived from the machine sales. Q4 is expected to be strong as well. And as we go into fiscal 25, we have a number of new opportunities, both repeat orders and new orders for our clientele. The REV royalties that we generate, pure margin, right? And our run rate for fiscal 24, which ends in a few days here, September 30th, we should be coming somewhere in the range of $2 million now. And that's up from 1.5 the year prior, and we're just in the process of finalizing several large-scale installations right now, which will lend itself to incremental growth in fiscal 25. And I'll talk a bit more about the pipeline in a second in terms of machine orders and what that could mean for our financials. Lastly, just worth mentioning, we do have a co-manufacturing facility in Delta. That's where we're based, just outside of Vancouver. And we use that more so as a sales tool versus a revenue driver, allowing food companies to do line trials, get product to market, de-risk the business case, really, before deploying material CapEx to get their own internal manufacturer. So I did say that, you know, the bold claim, we're the only company that offers a commercial scale reliable vacuum microwave, and really that's the primary reason that food companies will contact us and engage on innovation projects. We're also, you know, proactively hunting new prospects too, but we are the only proven option. Beyond that, because of the royalty model, it's a win-win scenario in that we want to ensure that that machine is running 24/7 if possible, meaning that we have technicians, both food scientists and engineers, available via WhatsApp, email, getting on planes, doing whatever we have to do to maximize the success of our royalty partners, and that will continue in the culture of EnWave as we move forward. And then lastly, just proven process. We now have close to 10 years operating history with our scaled up machinery. So we're not selling theoretical, you know, machinery with AutoCAD designs. We can take prospects through plants, let them talk to our current royalty partners, allow them to provide the testimonials for how we work with them, and then hopefully accelerate, again, the growth of our royalty portfolio through additional licenses being signed. So what's the sales cycle typically? That ranges. So small to medium enterprises can be anywhere between 3 months to 12 months, especially if it's to do with a product that's already been successful in the market. The larger, you know, multi-billion revenue, CPG, consumer packaged goods companies, can take anywhere between a year to 3 years, to be frank. And so we've realized a number of those relationships over the past 2 years, which has really changed the profile of our business, in that now it's not a question of, okay, going into robust negotiations to get the commercial terms, the royalties, exclusivities all done. It's about demand in market. So we've got several of our partners who have maxed out or are close to maxing out their capacity on the existing lines that they purchased and are now providing us with forecasts for fiscal 25 based on their volume needs. And that's given us a lot of optimism in terms of up to doubling our performance in number of large-scale machines to be sold in fiscal 25. Past 3 years, we've sold between, call it, 3 and 5 large-scale machines per year. For fiscal 25, we're feeling, I think, conservative optimism in 8 machines, but we've got far more. We've got 30 projects on the go for 25, but we've targeted 8. 8 machines for us is markedly different than 4. At 4 machines, we're a cash flow break-even business. At 8, selling them, and I'll get to a minute on the pricing, would get close to 3 to 4 million in bottom, or EBITDA, excuse me, for fiscal 25, if we're successful in that effort. So here's a snapshot, our trophy wall, per se. A lot of the logos you recognize, many of which you won't recognize. The ones you don't recognize are typically the co-manufacturers, the ones that are drying the strawberries and selling to General Mills versus General Mills themselves, but all equally important in terms of the progression and adoption of our REV vacuum microwave technology. So the machinery, we have 3 primary products that are trusted and true and sold many times over and being used by all types of companies. The first is a batch unit. It sells for approximately 300K CAD, and that is often used for product development, process protocol refinement, and small-scale market entries to, again, de-risk the acquisition of larger lines. And then we have a medium-sized unit, sells for $1.75 million. The medium and large-scale machines are continuous, and that is another remarkable difference to large batch freeze dryers, so it allows the operators to switch over products more frequently, and also ensures that if there is an issue, for whatever reason, the electricity goes out at the plant, you're not talking about the full batch being written off. You're talking about a small component of the product that's passing through the machinery during that particular time. The largest line sells for 2.5 million CAD. And again, gross margin on these sales is about 30%. So as EnWave grows, we have natural scalability. We have current capacity to build up to 10 large-scale machines per year at our site in Delta, British Columbia. As I said, the past few years has been between 3 and 5 machines, so we have room without any additional investment. Forecasting, you know, potentially 8 machines for fiscal 25, we still have existing capacity to do that, so you're not looking at massive investment or growth in expense structure to meet that need. And as we continue to deploy these large lines, which generate anywhere between $100,000 to, in certain anomaly cases, $400,000 in royalties per annum, these large machines, once they're up to about 80% capacity utilization, will grow incrementally as we deploy machine by machine by machine, ultimately leading to margin growth because the mix of revenue will start to increase in terms of the royalty contribution. So in addition to the pipeline we currently have, and I guess the internal optimism that we're going to execute on our plans, we've also committed to investing in a more robust sales structure. So we recently went out and recruited a new VP sales, lady by the name of Ms. Dana Dunnage, who's ex-president of Gordon Food Service. You probably know that company, food distribution organization here in Canada. And she's been given the green light to hire an additional manager in the Netherlands and Thailand to expand our breadth globally in an effort to, again, build pipeline. We've also committed to attending some of the major industry trade shows, more so than we have in times past. We typically would do, you know, 4 or 5 trade shows a year. This year, we're tapped to do about 8 to 10 trade shows per year, going to, in the next 3 months, to Chicago, Las Vegas, Dubai, Jakarta, Manila. So we'll be on planes pretty much full stop after this conference to try again to drive business. We were just recently in Mumbai, India for Nuga Food Tech, amongst others. So we're really putting the full court press on driving commercialization of our technology and therefore our royalty streams. This slide depicts our royalty growth that we've seen the past few years at an 18.9 CAGR going to fiscal 23. The LTM as of Q3 24 was 1.7, but as I said, we're expecting to come in somewhere around 2 million for fiscal 24 in royalties, which again is pure margin. And the next slide we have here illustrates the total installed capacity. So the three machines that you saw a few slides ago, the smallest machine's a 10 kilowatt unit, medium size is 60, and large is between 100 to 120 kilowatts. And as you can see, the total kilowatt installed base increased quite nicely from 2019 to 2022, a little blip there during COVID with new orders. And we're just on the precipice of closing in on 3 finished installations over the next month. So for fiscal 24, you should see that installed base jump to about 2,800 kilowatts, which is indicative of the royalties, therefore, improving in the coming year, because once those machines turn on, it's not instantaneous royalty generation. It takes time for them to build up the manufacturing capacity utilization and, of course, royalties. Some of the highlights from our last quarter financials, I think first is just positive adjusted EBITDA. We hadn't had that in a few quarters given that Q1 and Q2 were weak, so that was very much welcomed. And then year-over-year comparison of Q3 to Q3, we had increase in revenue as well and very strong margin. That strong margin was tied primarily to do with a strategic redeployment of a machine that we had taken back several years ago from a partner that went defunct, and we found a buyer for that, so it made very, very strong margin. But again, typical margin to expect is 30% on the machine sales, and depending on the blend of revenue, 100% from royalties. So go for it strategy. Ultimately, at our town hall, internal town hall we had last week, it was basically simple. Sell. Technology's proven. Business case is proven. We've licensed this to some very sophisticated procurement departments and legal departments to get through these long-term license agreements, which are intact until our intellectual property portfolio expires, which goes out until 2038, 2039. So we've got a nice runway for royalty collection currently. That's all been done. We've got proven successful products in the market. So Dole with their pineapple chips and banana chips are killing it right now. They're looking for additional manufacturing capacity. Calbee in Japan with their apple chips. Dairy companies in Europe, what have you. That's all done. Now it's a matter of how fast can we build up that momentum to get those folks to get those repeat purchase orders on additional manufacturing capacity, and also go and coerce their competitors to do the same thing, not necessarily in the same geographic regions, but others to complement their own growth. So clear go-for strategy of where we need to be. As I mentioned, well-capitalized, $4 million on the balance sheet, no debt. Don't need to raise dough. Really, you know, what we're here for and why we're spending money on doing IR again, which we hadn't done for about 2.5-3 years because we didn't see it as a good use of proceeds before we got the company in the right spot, is to get more eyes on stock and for us to deliver and execute. And hopefully, news release by news release, you can, are compelled to become a shareholder of our business sometime in the future. So I'll stop now and ask if there's any questions from the audience.
Imagine how difficult that was. That's why I was going to ask you, there needs to be transparency. market that they're in. Dole has exclusivity to produce pineapple and banana in Thailand. Here in Canada, we've been very cooperative on Zero Eating and 15 cheese snacks. So the business brings that to opportunity, Zero Save Insurance, what you hear now is, I won't say it's like slam dunk, but everyone's tough. Every single one's tough. We've got a proven commodity now.
Do they get something in exchange for the royalty? Is there an ongoing support or something?
Yeah, 24/7 remote monitoring of the machine's usage, so making sure there's minimal downtime, if any. 24/7 access for food bank for product and process development. So it's not just the machines we left you. Any new innovation that we come across in here, we share. And any new tax we call for in our IP portfolio, is included in the license.
You guys ever have any trouble covering royalties? Perhaps just smaller companies?
That's a great question. Sometimes, yes. Obviously, like for companies with a small scale unit that's over just like even like 5,000 on the quarter, it's like their payment size, so they can pay us the money if it's easy. But we remotely monitor usage, so we audit that against the quarter report today, and then there are tools that can license shut down. Also, skill systems are on the machine. So with remote access, it's not paying us the royalties. Turn it off until you pay.